see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Yes. And welcome to the Watchman for Jesus show tonight. The Revelation Radio Network, the network owners are getting ready for this big freeze, I guess, is coming in this direction where they live. And so they canceled the Revelation Radio show tonight. And let me know in enough time. And they have to get ready for apparently a big freeze that's heading their way. Everybody's getting ready for this big freeze coming their way. I'm going to do some research tonight myself about how these chemtrails interexchange with the Gwyn towers and Gwyn coils and the ELF towers and Gwyn coils and so forth, and the weather changes, because it does affect it in some fashion. And I know here in North Carolina, when I woke up on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, it was jam-packed the entire sky with chemtrails. I mean, I've never seen it this bad. Now, a cold freeze is coming. We know that that's generated through HAARP. So I'm just wondering what the connection is, because there's a connection. No, I'm not looking too much into it, because this is what's going on today. So the Revelation Radio tonight, the program is canceled. So I just said, well, I've got my own network. People listen to it anyway. And I'll just do the broadcast anyway on my own network. So here we are. Now, for those just joining tonight, we may have some others joining if they experiment and say, well, Revelation Radio is canceled, so let's go check the other site, and they may come popping up. We've got a fair number tonight, so I don't want to disappoint anyone. I know some people are listening to, what are you listening to? You're listening to the January 17th program, I believe. I'm not sure which one. My system is 24 hours now, so when I do a program, I cut in on it. I appreciate y'all stopping by. I'm going to try to talk tonight, since the schedule's been changed. I had to kind of pull something out. I want to make it worth your while the best I can tonight, since it's been canceled at Revelation Radio. And they let me know, I'll let you know that they let me know ahead of time. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to cover some end-time events that just aren't being covered, and some other assorted news that we'll talk about, just various things tonight I want to share with you. Lord, thank you tonight that we're able to broadcast, Father, in the spite of weather, and Lord, the changes of schedules and so forth, that we still can continue on. Thank you, Lord, for your caring. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for your trials and tribulations you give to us. Lord, we reaffirm our faith in Jesus Christ, and your Son died for us on the cross, was resurrected, that we may know we have life in him. Father, we have the authority of Jesus Christ over every evil power. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the cross and blood, Father, we call upon you to bind the spirits, powers, and forces of the earth, the underground, the air, the water, the fire, the netherworld, and satanic forces of nature. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit bind all interplay, interaction, communication of evil spirits as they would try to affect us in any way in our homes and outside and our workplace during this time of our broadcast and in our future. And Lord, we claim the protection of the shed blood of Jesus Christ over ourselves, our eyes, our ears, our hands and mind as we read the Bible, we study the Bible, we share information about the truth and the news and all we share today and in our broadcasting and Bible studies. And Lord, we thank you for your protection. Lord, prepare our hearts and help us to receive your word with understanding, without distraction from the enemy. Send us your holy angels to fill our homes, minister us and our family members, especially as we read your word, we share the truth, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. All these things we pray, Lord, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, if you don't mind, I'll be putting this thing together tonight, kind of on a shoestring. It may not seem like it, but I'm going to, because that took me a little surprise, but it's all good. So what kind of weather do you think is coming that these people, that people would prepare? It must be a nasty one coming. It's what I'm hearing from a lot of people. Now, you know, it's hard to tell people. I mean, especially born again or fundamentalist Christians, which we are, some of us, but it's hard to tell those that's not been studying this, and I'll tell you why. Because they think that only God controls the weather. But here's the tricky part. Remember God said to Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, that knowledge of good and evil gave us technology. It's never intended for us to have all this technology. We've always been created to live in a relatively primitive life, and not one of luxury, but of one of working, helping, teaching, training each other, loving each other, sharing in a primitive manner But all our focus is supposed to be on Jesus and worshiping him, helping each other. That's what's always been planned. And you see now why. I mean, look at it. I mean, you can't think that this technology we have is of God. It's impossible. Think about it for a minute. TV, what are you doing on TV? Sit there and look. And what are you watching on TV? Everything. 24/7. From the time you turn on, you turn off. If you sit there for a week straight, 7 days, 24 hours every day, and you're going to be goo-boo-eyed after that. But let's say, hypothetically, you sit there for 24 hours, 7 days a week. Of course, you'd be mind-numb after that happened. Let's say, hypothetically, you did. Every program that you would see in that 1 week period, 24/7, every program, even Congress talking, even the State of the Union, I don't care what it is. If it's on TV, everything is scripted out, even Congress. Oh, yeah. They get up there and give some kind of, you know, patriotic speech or slam the fist on the table and all this other stuff. And only a small, small percentage of them really are frustrated. The rest of them are just acting. Absolutely acting. And they lie. Man, they lie worse than a carpet in a big old house. They just lie. And I'm not negative about it. I'm just telling you what to do. They're members of secret society. And you'll get some congressmen that come up there, representatives and congressmen and so forth. And they really sincerely or maybe want to change things and all this because they haven't learned the truth yet. And they get up there, yeah. And they start saying, you know what we're going to do? And one of them will take him and say, John, sit down a minute. We need to talk. Okay, this is how it really works here in Washington. If you want to live, if you want to keep your family intact, if you don't want to end up on Saturday Post, or if you don't have a car accident, here's what you got to do. And that's, they get a talking to, and they're told what they're going to have to do. And if there's one that says, I'm not going to listen, they got something called the Black Book. It's a fact, to do. And they'll catalog every weakness that that congressman, hospital president, school administrator, superintendent, whatever, contractor, worker, whatever it is, whoever it is, they'll find out every minor weakness they have, no matter what it is. They'll find out, and they'll use that to get them back on track. And what they're shooting for, the Illuminati, the globalists, the Jesuits, the Freemasons, and all that, what they're shooting for at the highest level now, lowest level, don't know this, is to have total control of the New World Order. And once they realize they can do that, once they find out it's set up, they will then come out public about the New World Order. Right now, it's just laying the groundwork for a long time, you see. But the worst, main part of it is God has helped them back because the Word of God must be preached in the four corners of the globe before Jesus will come back. He's going to give every man, woman, and child at one time. And this is God's business, not ours. And we'll never know when it's going to happen. When God's word has been preached in the four corners of the world, then the end shall come. Now, you've got people out there that say, well, what about in the Amazon? You don't know, but what a missionary has done been there. You don't know. We can't say that. This is God's business, man. This is God's business, not ours. And certainly not mine. So I can't use that as an excuse or an argument. You can't say, well, I'm sure in the Amazon, nobody's ever heard of it. How do you know? How do you know in dreams or visions it hadn't happened? You don't know. God knows what he's doing. He created this world from nothing, this universe from nothing, going backwards, of course. He can undo it or do it back again. Change it any way he wants to. How that works, I don't have a clue. That's not my problem. It's not my business. It's God's business. So I ain't going to sit here and try to figure it out because it ain't going to happen. wonder, is everything we're doing for nothing? Is what we're doing on a daily basis, is it counting for nothing? Or is it counting for something? You know, in the early 60s, is a song came out by J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers. It said, "The Last Kiss." And the song is about a couple that's out on a date, and they get into a car accident, and the girl dies in her boyfriend's arms. He mourns her death, singing something like, "Oh, where, oh, where can my baby be? Lord, took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I gotta be good so I can see my baby when I leave this world." No, I'm not going to sing it for you. I'd certainly lose listeners, but the song kind of sums up the attitude, if you will, of a lot of people. We just wonder. They think if they can live a good life and if the good works they do outweigh the bad, then they'll have earned their way to heaven. Some people don't even think that. They think, have I lived a good life? What's that movie? I don't have a chat. Usually y'all can figure it out before I do. The movie Tom Hanks was in. See how we always refer to movies? I do too. The movie, Saving Private Ryan. Gee, I'm not getting old after all. I remembered it. Saving Private Ryan, remember? Wow, I can't remember, believe I remembered it. Did I live a good life? When his life was saved, it was whispered to him by the dying captain. Where's the effect? Saved your life, now live a good life. Something like that. Where's wonder? People want to get in the World's Book of Records, Guinness's. Want to run faster than anybody else. They want to eat more hot dogs than somebody else. Or do a, what they call the bucket list thing, you know, that you've never done before. Do better than other people. I'm better than you are. But when you think about it, what's the matter? Once you've done it, it's accomplished, and somebody's going to beat it. So where's your eternal, what's the word I'm trying to find here? Your legacy that you've left back. What is your legacy? Family, all legacy is going to be burned in the fire. Our legacy is what you make it for the future. It's not in the past. Oh, I got you, didn't I? Are we not so conditioned of the legacy? It's because you're thinking mortal. How about that? I just now thought of that just now, actually. I can't say that. This just popped in my head. We always live on a legacy that we leave behind. We're taught that. Why? Because this world is an entropy. It dies. Rust, rots, eaten up, moved, changed, blown away. Everything. There's no exception. So how's evolution possible? Yeah, good point. It's not possible. How come these scientists can't figure that out? Anyway, everything, rust, rot, ends, moves, changes, everything. There's no exception. I mentioned this today in my regular broadcast from 4 to 6. I'll say it again. Back in the day, I had a 286 computer. Yeah, I did. Did I have 186? I don't remember. Anyway, a 386. And boy, I thought I was hot stuff and I got a 486. Well, look at me. I got a 486 computer. Yeah, it's funny. Now your handheld devices are bigger than the whole room full of computers back in the 60s, 70s they had. You got more power in your hand than they had in the whole room in the building. You know why they got to keep upgrading? because technology falls behind, even catches on fire. It can't do it. It destroys, dies, changes, frequencies change. The circuits get old and they have to make better circuits. People don't realize this. They're not just they're advancing. It's the fact they have no choice. They've got to advance. And the fallen angels are working hard. Because God's always changing things on them. God's in control. He changes their frequency vibration. That means they got to change their formulas. They can't stop, man. They can't sleep. They can't rest. They can't let down 1 second. Because guess who's in control? God is. And all he's got to do is wiggle his finger, whatever God does, and changes the frequency vibration. And all their calculations go to pot, man. Yeah, no pun intended. And so, that's the reason. Wires wear out. Frequency vibration changes for your frequencies and your computers and the wires and the methodology. You can't just stay at 486 computer. They had to increase it or they wouldn't be able to use it. They have to keep, God keeps it moving. God keeps them pushing. Just like herding cattle right to the death farm. And what's going to happen is they're going to hit a stone wall where nothing upgrading will work. That's why they got to keep upgrading. Because they can't stop and let down. God's in control. And they're not telling their joint chief of staff this. They're not telling their Luciferians, highest level kings and queens this. No. The fallen angels know their day is coming to an end. So they know that they lost it at the Calvary, when Jesus Christ was resurrected. They lost control. They know that Jesus Christ will then come back and take total physical control of Jerusalem. So, they're trying to regain. They know the scripture better than anybody else does. They know that Armageddon, the physical, supernatural, Jesus Christ will be actually will be taken to Jerusalem. They know that their destination is the lake of fire for eternity at that point on. You can't imagine. We can't in our wildest imagination even begin to imagine this. But it's coming. And God gives us, he always tells his people, what's going to happen before it happens. He always tells the prophets to tell the people what's coming before it happens. That means that they, the Illuminati, the Jesuits, the globalists, and so forth and so on, they must tell you what they're going to do before they do it. They're going to hit a stone wall. Upgrading won't work anymore. You see, that day is coming. So what they're trying to do is then their next out is one of several things. One is to defeat God at his own game. You got to be kidding me. But anyway, and what's God's weapons? Satan figures God's weapons are the weather, meteorites, the sun, and all sorts of the weather, inclusive earthquakes, tsunamis, everything natural that's a disaster. That must be God's weapon. Therefore, I will gear up man, Satan says. Bring man up to speed, using whatever words he uses, and technology of the knowledge of good and evil, to defeat God using natural means. And that's the purpose of weather control, earthquake control. Now, your fundamentalist Christians that don't know about this, that follow God and all that, and it's great, but they don't understand that the Illuminati, as trained by Lucifer, the fallen angels, have been able to weaponize natural disasters, weather, and so forth. They also have supernatural methodology, methods and techniques. But God's just allowing it for right now. But when that 7-year tribulation begins, it's Katie bar the door. And we'll be in it, whether it's this generation, or if you pray hard and God extends another generation, so be it. But you can't let your breath out and say, whew, because eventually you're still going to die. Remember, everything is in entropy. Where are you going to spend your eternity? Whether you die in a car accident or whether you die of old age in a rest home or whatever, I don't know, whatever. But you're eventually going to die. That's just the way it is. And that bucket list won't mean a hill of beans. So back to my point. What legacy? Legacies don't matter. It's what your future is. That's what matters. It's the future, not what you leave behind, but what you have laid ahead of you. They've got it all reversed. The world's in entropy. We think in entropy. You got to put a, you know, you go to a bar all the time. Well, they want to put a plaque up there because you're there all the time. You go to a church all the time. They want to put your name on the pew. And about 10 years down the road, somebody going to poke somebody and say, who's this John Jones of this tag? I don't know. He died when? 2014. That was what, 10 years ago? Yeah. Who was he? I don't know. Ask one of the older folks here. Who's John? You see, that, it's, where's your legacy? Your legacy is your future. That's what you look toward. That's the best message I can give tonight. I never thought of this before, till now, that we're so focused on the past that we look at leaving a legacy and our whatever we got in the past, you know, and that's it, right? Trophies, or this is my favorite Bible, this is my favorite plaque, son, take care, this is my favorite gun, I'll give it to you. Who is he going to give it to? His grandson. And who's his grandson going to give it? His son. Who's your grandson? And your grandson's going to give it to who? What's going to happen to it? It's going to get rusty. That's what's going to happen to it. It's going to end up in some old box somewhere. Sorry, but it is. Well, I'll put my name on it. Okay, it's going to end up with your name on it in an old box. There, so there. And then they'll say, well, there's Grandpa, great-grandpa's old gun. That's a, you know, a Sig Sauer. Look at that. It's rusty. You going to shoot it? Oh, no, I ain't going to shoot that thing. Well, I'll blow up on me. Besides, we use ray guns now. yeah, okay, whatever. You got the point. Anyway. That's important to know. Your legacy ain't a legacy. Your legacy's in the future, man. Heaven or hell. That's the reality. It's not whether you get a log cabin in the Ozarks and you got, you know, all this freeze-dried. You ain't going to get it there in the first place. And when you're there, you think somebody's not going to take it from you. And if you do live up there, what's going to happen then? Family, the supernatural is the rule, not the exception. Anyway. I just thought of that just now. The legacy is not in the past. The legacy is in the future. Look to the future, not to the past. Because God looks to the future. When you ask him to forgive you of your sins, okay, I forgive you. He's forgot it. So why do you got to keep remembering it? That's why Satan keeps you reminded. He don't want you to forget the past. He wants you to forget the future. yeah. He wants you to remember the past. Hope you all wrote that down, because I don't know if I remembered, but that's important to know. Where is my baby gone, y'all? You know, the song sums up an attitude, doesn't it? Of living the good life. The good works, do they outweigh the bad? Then you've earned your way to heaven. I've yet to figure out what Swedenborg was talking about as a universalist when he said you can work your way out of hell. I ain't figured that one out yet. That's what he says. Although it does tell the truth about the fallen angels, because he says he's known, Swedenborg is the man who spoke with angels. And you know what he says? He spoke to the angels. And your joint's chief of staff, you might take heed if you could listen to this broadcast. He says, oh, I say that because they're in disclosure, and that's where I'm probably going to head to tonight. That's where I can talk about tonight. That's what I'll do. Anyway, it's all they do is lie. This is a quote from a man who spoke with these fallen angels. that all they can do is lie. If anything comes out of their mouth, it's a lie, no matter what it is. And you White House out there, we're not talking about just part of the angels, all of them. Except for the ones that God sends on mission, they come down, they take care of business, and they go back. But these fallen angels, literally, are the orbs that you're seeing flying around like a floating boat bowling ball. And you notice that when they do research on these orbs, they're like disco balls. They got to keep moving. They got to keep moving. They got to keep the lights are flickering, always moving, because that's their energy. You know what that is? That's their frequency, vibrations, changing all the time. They can't stop, because once they stop and get caught in this realm or whatever, they get thrown into the abyss. That's a little complicated, but, and then they have to use a lot of energy to come back out of the abyss into this realm. That requires, listen, sacrifice of a massive level, train crashes, tsunamis, fires that's directed, invocation to get that demon, get that fallen angel out of the abyss. You sort of getting the idea? And there's some serious physics going on around us. We can't see. But anyway. Have you earned your way to heaven? Well, the Bible does not allow anyone to earn their way to heaven. If it did, what would Jesus come down here in the first place? You see, the scriptures teach that good works have nothing to do with one entering the right relationship with God. The relationship is nothing you can earn because God's done everything for us. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Isn't Titus 3:5? That's pretty clear. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Titus 3:5. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now who boasts? Freemasons, come on, man. You guys, you've taken the blood oath to tell falsehoods or to protect other Masons. What about those around you? Are they excluded because they're not Freemasons? What is the right thing to do? What if a Freemason is doing something wrong against somebody that's not a Freemason? You're obligated by God to fix it, report it, or speak out. Oh, you took a blood oath that you can't. Oh my, you have a little bit of a heap there, aren't you? Well, I have a solution for you. Renounce the blood oath. Get out of the Masons. Renounce the blood oath. Ask for forgiveness of taking that oath. And God will relieve you of that oath. Because our oath with God is assumed and eternal. It's called the Ten Commandments. He laid it down. Not 10 suggestions. It's 10 Commandments. Jesus fulfilled the fourth commandment of the Sabbath rest. But when you do a good deed, you say, well, look, we at the hospitals we fix, and look at the all this good deeds we did. So, but why'd you do them? Then what do you do after? There you go. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. The work of God that we believe on him who he has sent. I had a knock on the door this afternoon. A young lady came to the door and had a Bible in her hand, and it wasn't hard to figure. Jehovah's Witness. Yep. That didn't last long. It didn't work out too well. I witnessed toward the love of Jesus, which we agreed, but what we didn't agree was the Bible. What we didn't agree was that Jesus was God incarnated, human flesh. That's important to believe that. They come so close, but when I was talking, I saw the conditioning in the eyes. They were locked. They were completely gone. I mean, it's like brainwashed. That's what they do to these people. Baptists isn't any different. You got some Baptist churches say you're not saved unless you speak in tongues. Well, that's a lie. Say you're not saved unless you get baptized. That's another lie. Baptism is an outward show of faith. It's part of obedience, but not requirement. Because a criminal on one side of Jesus was not baptized. This is one reason of many. But some say that you have to speak in tongues. Well, no, tongues is, that's done. That was back in the Old Testament period. And New Testament, New Testament speaking in tongues, Holy Spirit came down. That's so when they spoke in tongues, what that meant was, when they spoke the Word of God, all the different languages that was around could hear and understand their own language. Could hear and understand in their own language. And speaking in tongues had an interpreter with them. Never spoken in gobbledygook. But they got people believing that. You know, if our eternal salvation is on the basis of works, and we could earn it successfully pretty much, then God would be our debtor. He would owe us something. You see? Man, people ain't thinking. Well, I wasn't thinking in my days, so, you know, it's things we kind of learn along the way. And the reason when I started learning, when I started realizing I didn't know, that's when I learned the most, is when I realized I didn't know. When I said, Lord, I don't know. Oh, finally, he says. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Romans. You know, the Bible actually teaches that God owes no man anything. He don't need us. He wants us to love him, worship him, but he don't need man. He don't need a flying scroll, atomic bomb, like Zechariah 4 or Zechariah 5 it is. They say that's a flying scroll. Oh, that's an atomic bomb. That's a missile. No, it's not. It's nonsense. This flying scroll is judgment. Hyperbole. That's used in the Bible. It's not a flying. People call it a missile. Well, that's a nuclear missile at end times. No, it's not. God owes no man anything. He don't need man. He don't need harp to bring his new world order, to bring the trumpets in. He's going to do it naturally. Satan needs all the technology. God don't. But Satan loses anyway. The Bible teaches that God owes no man anything. And you know, our own righteousness is his filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. Now that's rough to say. It's also true. You know that there's actually a very simple reason that God has a perfect standard. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Talks about that in Romans 3:23. It's pretty clear. For all sinned, come short of the glory of God. You would like to compare ourselves to others. Do we not? Thus we kind of feel that we're not so bad after all. Or we get placated in church. Put money in the pot. Think you did a good deed. Help a little old lady across the street. But you know, God compares us to Jesus Christ. And next to him, we can't help but fall short. All of us without exception. You know, if one example, there's Southern California. I know it's California. I'm a most southern boy. You know, there's an island off the coast called Catalina. And it's about 26 miles from the pier of Newport Beach, I believe. 26 or 30 miles. And suppose that one day there's three men standing on the end of the pier. One is alcoholic, grubby, sick, and living in the streets. The second one is average American Joe. And the third is a fine, upstanding pillar of the community person. Well, all of a sudden, this alcoholic guy leaps off the edge of the pier about 5 feet out in the water. And the other two yell to him, "What are you trying to do?" They say. Man in water says, "I'm jumping to Catalina." Oh. Well, the second man, the average man on the street, says, "Watch me, I could do better than that." He proceeds to jump, landing 10 feet out, twice as far as the alcoholic. Third man, very moral, upright, outstanding person, athlete and all that, he laughs at him and says, "Two men in water," and moves back about 50 yards and takes a running leap. Lands about 20 feet out, twice as far as Mr. Joe Average and four times as far as Mr. Alcoholic. Well, they're stuck in the water because it's a long pier. It's high. And the Coast Guard has to come and fish them out of the water. And he asked them, "What are you doing?" And then they all replied, "We're all jumping to Catalina." Mr. Average Joe, he kind of says, "Well, he beat Mr. Alcoholic. I got further than he did." Mr. Great Athlete here, he says of his accomplishment and beating both of them. The Coast Guard officer just only shake his head and exclaim, "You fools, you're all still 26 miles short of the mark." So your modern man really considers himself better than at least as good as the others, but he's still far from the target that God set for us. You know, it's impossible for anyone to jump from a pier to Catalina. It's impossible for anyone to reach heaven by his own deeds, too, by the way. And just apart from Jesus Christ, it's not going to happen. Jesus himself said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's pretty clear. So what are they up to out there? Well, they got all this alien stuff going on. ET and all this sort of thing. But you know, your good works, your good works ain't going to get you there. But then there's the argument. About works that get you to heaven. There's a scripture in there that talks about that. And they say, "Well, what about that?" Well, you go to Luke 12. 12:8. "And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven." Today, that is unbelief. If you go to Hebrews is quite, you know, they don't really know who wrote Hebrews. They suspect it's John, the disciple. Not John of Patmos, but John the disciple. Paul, not John. They think Paul did. My mistake. But they're not sure. Whoever it was, they were touched by God. Hebrews 6:4. For it is impossible for those who once enlightened have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have fasted the good word of God, tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. There's those in hell who would prefer eternal torment to obedience to God. That's why they're there. That's hard for us to really wrap our minds around, you know. Why people would want to, would accept that? Why would they do that? If God didn't have hell and have the torment, they would all be fighting each other. Unbelievable point. You see? And that's why he has hell and why it is torment. It's hard for us to imagine that. For our minds are carnal and mortal. But you know, in Hebrews 10:26-29, it says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of Man, who, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. They prefer eternal torment to being obedient to God. That's why they curse God. But you know, the scriptures itself talks about different degrees of torment in hell. The greater the wickedness, the greater it will be. If you go to Revelation, for example, that's why there's judgment. 20:11-15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, and whose face on the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. But family, do you understand what this says? I have to explain this real quick. The great white throne judgment are those judged that's already turned away from Jesus. They've been pulled out of hell long enough to be judged of everything they've done, said, and then they're sent right back to hell with varying punishments. That's what's coming. You don't want to be there. That's when their good works are there, because they have different varying degrees of torment. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a judgment. But the best place in hell is the worst place you ever want to be. Because you can't imagine being separated from God for eternity. You just, we We just can't fathom that. Don't play with it. Because there's no such thing as annihilation. Otherwise, there's no need to judge works. If you're going to be annihilated, who cares? What difference does it make? That's why there's no annihilation. You got to take this serious because if you cremated and all that sort of thing, they think they're going to escape, but it's not. God will reconstitute your body, bring it back in a supernatural way, and you'll be judged as a sinner if you've rejected Jesus Christ. You also have of different varying rewards in heaven. Depends on one's degree of submission to the work of God's Spirit. And that in building a Christ-like life. When you fail in this life, do things bad, you feel guilty. If you don't feel guilty, boy, you got a problem. If you do things evil, you do things against other people and not feel bad about it, you better start worrying. But that feeling bad about something you've done bad or you've done against somebody and you feel bad about it, that's a good thing because that's God talking to you, letting you know that you're heading the wrong path. First Corinthians 3:12. Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort of it is. 1 Corinthians 3:14. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. And that's exactly what I was talking about. You know, if God imposed no torment in hell, the rest there would be so vexed against another to an unthinkable degree. And you know, even that is covered in Jeremiah. The crying prophet Jeremiah, he talks about that. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? So one purpose of the torment in hell is to restrain the total expression of evil. Some need more restraint than others. Family, this is coming this way. But for those that die sooner, as we may think it, it starts immediately. Family, you're not going away. You're not going to go in some kind of oblivion. If that was the case, there'd be nothing. There's no other need for anything. Now, I'm kind of putting this together a little bit here as I'm going along. I got stuff popping in my head, so all kinds of stuff are popping on. What are the rewards? What are the five crowns? The crown of life is one. The incorruptible crown, 2. Crown of righteousness, 3. Crown of rejoicing, 4. And the crown of glory, 5. That's the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is a judgment for those who are believers. That's what that's for. You know, it's hard to explain to people how important this virus really is. That this is the final, I hate using the word, secular word, graduation. But that's where we are. That's where we are. It's what's going on today. And it's coming to a head. No pun intended. Now, why not? The heavenly crowns mentioned in the New Testament, that's going to be rewarded to believers. And some won't, as I read you from the scripture, as if by fire. Those are the ones I mentioned a little while ago that made to heaven with no, what they received on earth, they didn't use it to the utmost. They didn't use it fully. They got saved by fire. In other words, they were born again, but they just didn't use what they were given. But God did write them in the book of life. There's others that have taken what God's given them, and you've heard the story before, taking the one coin and producing 10 or 100. Or just taking the one coin or two coins and burying them and so you wouldn't lose them, but didn't do anything with them. You got the idea. There are the imperishable crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and the crown of life. And you know, the Greek translated word crown is Stephanos. Stephanos, S-T-E-P-H-A-N-O-S, I believe. And the source of the same, Stephan, the martyr, means a badge of royalty, a prize of the public game, of a symbol of honor, kind of used during the ancient Greek games, a wreath or a garland of leaves or placed on the head of the winner as a reward for winning an athletic contest. So the word is used figuratively in the New Testament, as the translators put it. And the rewards of the heavenly hosts, heavenly God, promises those who are faithful. In Paul's passage, 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. Know ye not that they which run a race all, but one receives a prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we incorruptible. It defines for us how the crowns are awarded. Now, the imperishable crown you'll find in 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. And this crown, it runs in a way that you may obtain it, but everyone who competes for this prize is temperate, disciplined in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we, for an imperishable crown. All things on this earth are subject to decay and will perish. As I was talking about, the entropy. So Jesus urges us not to store our treasures on earth. This goes along with what I was saying a little while ago. That's where moth and rust will destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Matthew 6:19. For those who live in the past, it will be just there. It's kind of equal to what Paul was saying about the wreath of leaves that was soon to turn brittle and fall apart. It's the past. Not so the heavenly crown, faithful endurance to win the heavenly reward, which is an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that which does not fade away, is reserved in heaven for you in the future. Not some tag on some bar stool or some tag at the school where you ran the best 100-yard dash 20 years ago. Somebody says, well, who's that? The other person says, I don't know. You ask one of the teachers, I don't remember. Where's your legacy? It's in the past. Where should it be? In the future. Everything on this earth is going to go away. There's no way around it. It's impossible for otherwise. 1 Peter 1, 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, but who kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If he calls you home early, you just get a head start. You know, I mean, I don't see the problem. But in any case, then you have the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? The Apostle Paul tells us in even Philippians 4, 4. Now the crown of rejoicing is 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19. Now Philippians 4, verse 4. To rejoice always in the Lord for all the bountiful things and our blessings our gracious God has given us. But you know, Satan copies that. Did you know that? Do you know that Satan in Hollywood, he's known as the Rain Man? Yeah. He's got all kinds of names. We think Rain Man came from with Dustin Hoffman. Percent of Hollywood reflects Satan's attributes, Satan's mind manipulation. All of Hollywood, that's what it was for. That's what it is for. Everything that comes out of that TV. You know, as Christians, born again, you have more in this life to rejoice about than anyone about anybody else because you accepted. Luke tells us there is rejoicing even now in heaven. Luke 15, verse 7. So the crown of rejoicing will be your reward where God will wipe away every tear. There shall be no more death, sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, 4. Family, this is coming. This is not some philosophical mumbo jumbo. Now, I had a bunch of old trophies when I was a teenager and whatever, as martial arts and go to tournaments and all that sort of thing. And I remember one day when I was moving recently in the past 4 years or 5 years, actually, and I had to move from Georgia to up here. And I had all these old things, I guess, and boxes had, I don't know. I didn't know I had them. And I had to get moving fast. I had to get moving, get going. And I had all this junk. And I said, what is this? And I cut it open. There's trophies I'd had that go back to 1973, for goodness sakes. Opened up another one. There's another box. I had about 40 of them. And I said to myself, what in the dick is my carrying these stupid things around for? It's made out of metal and granite and Lord knows what else. I don't know what. And I said, why am I keeping them? What for what purpose? Who cares? And I said to myself, exactly. And I threw them away. The whole darn boxes of them. And you know what? I've not missed a one of them yet. Not a one. And I don't have to pay for them to move them anyway. See? You know. crown of rejoicing for those who win others to Christ. This is called the soul winner's crown. The imperishable crown for those who run a good race in the Christian life. And then the crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing, righteousness, for those who win others to Christ is a crown of rejoicing. It's called the soul winner's crown. Then the crown of righteousness, for those who look for and love Christ's return. Now, if you go to 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even when you are in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 4:4 to rejoice always in the Lord for all the bountiful blessings our gracious God showered upon us. That's why I said the Rain Man is called Satan is Rain Man, because he rains down pleasures, reward, and so forth. That's why they call him Rain Man. That's a code word. You know, a Christian, you have more in life to rejoice than anybody else. You know why? Because God's coming back. Righteousness, number three. The crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who've loved his appearing. So you inherit the crown through righteousness of Christ, which is what gives you the right to it. Without it, it cannot be obtained. Because it's obtained and possessed in a righteous way, not by force or deceit, as many do, in earthly crowns. For it's an everlasting crown promised to all who love the Lord and wait for his return. Now you're going to have, in the meantime, discouragements, persecutions and sufferings, even death. But you must know that your reward is with Christ in eternity. That's the future. Philippians 3, verse 20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That crown's not for those who depend upon their own sense of righteousness, good deeds, own works. This kind of attitude breeds only arrogance and pride and a fervent desire to be the Lord is what it's about. Then you have the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. There's entropy again. But this won't fade. You know, Peter's addressing the elders. You must also remember that the crown will be awarded to all those who long for or love his appearing. So when you look at the word glory in this case, it's kind of an interesting word. It refers to the nature of God and his actions. It entails his splendor and brightness. You know, Stephen, when he got stoned, well, while he was being stoned to death, he was able to look into heaven and see the glory of God. He saw the glory of God. Acts 7:55-56. And that word also means that the praise and honor that you give to God alone is due him because of who he is. And you'll find this in three scriptures. Isaiah 48:11, and Galatians 1:5. And these are also believers that are this crown or blessed to enter the kingdom in the very likeness of Christ himself. That's hard to do, isn't it? You know, Paul put it very eloquently. He said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." When you go to Romans in the King James Bible, Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which has been revealed in us." You got the crown of life. In Revelation 2:10, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Instead, indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will be tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." That's a crown for all believers, for it's especially dear to those who endure sufferings. They bravely confront the persecution for Jesus, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. And it'll be even be to the point of death. You know, when you look at the scriptures, the word life is kind of used to show a relationship. It's right with God. You know, it's Jesus who said, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life more abundantly." Now, he don't mean to have a Mercedes Benz in the car for it. Or a 5-bedroom house. He ain't talking about that. He's talking about spiritual abundance. John 10:10. You know, as things are like air, food, water, they're vital for your physical lives right now. But Jesus provides us what's required for our spiritual lives. He's the one that provides us the living water. Hello. 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 Testing. Oh, crazy. Testing, testing. Can you all hear me? A little communication time. Something's funny here. Hello? That's odd. Crown of life. You know, the earthly life is going to end. This is the priority. This is what's going on. You get this amazing promise that comes from those who come to God through Jesus. And this is a promise he's promised to eternal life. James tells us a crown of life is for those who love God. James 1:12. And the question then is, how do we demonstrate our love for God? Apostle John answers it for us. He says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome." 1 John 5:3. This is all future. This isn't past. This isn't fantasy. This is why I don't get all worked up and all this stuff with colloidal silver and I don't know. I mean, I guess it works and all that, but I just don't get all in the hay fever over all that stuff. You know, I mean, people get all nervous about this and all that, and I ain't going out here and eat rat poison, but I'm not going to just worry about all this stuff. I mean, you're going to run out of colloidal silver. You're going to run out of vitamin whatever. You're going to eventually go into concentration camp, or you may die of something, or you may be taken to rapture. I don't know. You know, whatever. You know, God's in control. We got to trust him or not. You know, I don't believe in walking in the middle of a four-lane highway blindfolded wearing black clothes. No, you know, but you don't put that on him. I shall not tempt the Lord thy God or test him. You know, that's the story there. I felt I need to cover then those crowns because this is future. And right now we're concerned about my investments in something, or you're concerned about where you're going to put in the gold in the gold market, or I don't know, you know, all that stuff going on about it. You know, about the Super Bowl coming up. Are they going to, you know, destroy and kill, you know, 200,000 people in the Super Bowl? I don't know. Family, but something's coming. It's going to come. It's going to come down sometime. We're on borrowed time, and people don't like talking about this. But not talking about it ain't going to make it go away. Talking about it brings it kind of to bear to where you be ready for it mentally. What's disclosure? What's this thing called disclosure that's coming about that nobody's talking about? Ooh, that's going to catch some of these theologians by surprise, let me tell you. It's been planned since 1897. Actually, before that. And ain't nobody talking about it much. And when they do talk about it, they got this alien nonsense in the air. Disclosure is actually the name that's given to the announcement by various world government leaders that we're not alone in the universe. And in fact, they say, they're going to say, I didn't say in fact it's true, but they're going to say in fact that many races of galactic human beings are here around the planet and have been for some time, they'll say, and they're here on peaceful mission, and they'll state a fact which governments have generally kept hidden from the people until recently. They're going to use Bill Cooper for that when he's getting out of the Navy intelligence. They were going to use him because they were sneaking by on his desk UFO top secret documents. They wanted him to see them. But later on, he became born again. That's something changed on him. Gosh. Now, they're going to tell you they're on a peaceful mission. They're going to have good aliens and bad aliens. They're going to have good people and bad people. You're going to have white hats and black hats and some kind of economic crash. Nah, but whatever. But disclosure ends with a period of secrecy that extends back to 1947. The preparation was in 1897. Much earlier. This practice of denying that UFOs or spacecraft exist have been a policy followed by most governments for various reasons. Do you notice in some of the commercials? Now think about some of these TV commercials, if you've seen them, or YouTube, you're watching YouTube or something. What do you see a lot of times in the background of a commercial or movie set? You see chemtrails, don't you? At least one or two streaks across the sky. That gets you used to it. So you say, oh, it's in the movie. Subconsciously, you'll see the chemtrail. Oh, it's normal. That's why they have it there. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Anyway, they are tricky. But where and when is disclosure going to occur? No one knows exactly, by the way, when it's going to take place. Dates are discussed and acts of reprisal are threatened to have occurred during those who oppose it. However, it seems reasonable that once the galactics or certain disclosure will not result in reprisals against us by their own people or mass panic. They want to be accepted. And all nations on earth will, through kind of a coordinated process, they'll announce to their citizens the fact, they'll say, that cosmic civilizations do exist. So the general consensus at that time is that the day of disclosure is not far off. As a matter of fact, increased public pressure will bring the date forward. And that public pressure that's pressing it will be orchestrated by insiders to push it. Now, did you know, were you aware that in 1937, there was a test done. And you know, the Rockefeller Foundation funded a project in the fall of 1937 for War of the Worlds. And it was meant to broadcast. I know you've heard of it. As a psychological warfare experiment, and was conducted by Princeton Radio Project. And the Radio Project was a social research project funded by Rockefellers. And it was to look in the effects of mass media on society. Now, 1937, the Rockefeller Foundation started funding the research to find the effects of new forms of mass media on society, especially on the radio at that time. And several universities, certainly they linked up to Tavistock, they joined in the headquarters was formed at the School of Public International Affairs at Princeton University. Paul Lazar Field was director. Theodore Adorno, do you like my Italiano, was Theodore Adorno. I had to practice that. Hadley Cantrell is a psychologist at Princeton. And Princeton is a card-carrying member of Tavistock, of paid-off colleges. In Department of Psychology, and Gordon Allport, another Lazarfield assistant. And he went on to be Tavistock's Institute leading representative in the United States. And then Frank Stanton, he was a researcher from CBS. He had sent to help the project. He later became president of CBS, Frank Stanton. So the first studies were soap operas. Oh, you know about those, don't you? Known as radio dramas at the time. Moved into TV. Who sits at home in the nuclear family? The wife does. Who's the teacher? The wife is. Who makes the food? Wife does. That's a nuclear family. What does the husband do? He goes out and works. Yeah? Well, the feminist movement, funded by the Rockefellers, was designed to break that all up. Isn't this amazing? I mean, this stuff is amazing. How this all works out. Well, anyway. So the wife's at home, and that's why they made soap operas. One of the reasons why. Who teaches the children? The wife does, because she's at home teaching the children, doing all this and all that. So what she learns on TV affects her. She passes it on to the children. And of the husband. So now to divide the family, the feminist movement, same-sex marriage, take the jobs away or increase the prices, cause the husband and wife have to work, take them away from the kids. The kids are now in the custody of the education system. Oh. Oh. Now, watch this. Oh, I got these people down pat, man. I got to tell you, I know these people. Man, they make me sick sometimes. They knew the husband and wife would be out of the home, that the schools would then take over raising your children, because no longer could the wife or the husband be the disciplinarian and the wife not be the teacher, the comforter. But then the schools had them. That was orchestrated already. And we're talking 50s, 60s, right? Well, check out this action. Harvard University, a card-carrying member of the Tavistock. Quote, Dr. Chester M. Pierce, medical doctor, MD, out of Harvard University, addressing 2,000 teachers in Denver, Colorado, in 1973. In an auditorium, 2,000 impressionable teachers were listening to this individual say the following words over a microphone, I bet you. Quote, every child in America who enters school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with allegiance toward our elected officials, toward our founding fathers, toward our institutions, and toward the preservation of this form of government, patriotism, nationality, sovereignty, all that proves children are sick because a truly well individual is one who's rejected all those things as what I would call the true international child of the future, unquote. Now you see what they've done. This is 1973, and not a bit of it stopped yet. Now you're finding that they're losing respect for the teachers because the teachers are told to start acting bad. And what's been happening? A 30-year-old school teacher, having affairs with 15-year-olds and 18-year-olds. It's rampant. First, it was the male teachers, little girls. It was older women with younger boys in your schools. Now they're having transgender bathrooms. Family, who's going to see this happening? You see what's going on? This is all orchestrated and planned in councils, committees, and objectives. Well, back to War of the Worlds. Huh? It's all part of it. Soap operas were left off, wasn't it? The Radio Project researched 1938 Halloween broadcast of War of the Worlds. And they found that out of the estimated 6 million people who heard the broadcast, 25% thought it was real. That's a lot of people thought it was real. That's very significant. My head's buzzing today. I got something else to tell you. Hold on a minute. I just thought of something. Son of a gun. I'll be doggone. Whoa. Listen. When this thing went down, 25%, this is a test to see if they would believe extraterrestrial. It was real. They thought it was real. Matter of fact, in one small town, they thought it was so real, I kid you not, they shot up their water tower, thought it was a monster. Blew the water tower to shreds. Most of the people who panicked didn't think it was an invasion from Mars that was occurring, but rather an invasion by the Germans, some people thought. It was later determined that because the radio broadcast from the Munich crisis that was earlier in the year, the masses were prone to this. 1937-38, and guess when a Freemason came up with Superman comic book, 1938. Oh, matter of fact, if you have an original 1938 Superman comic book, you get like, I don't know, $500,000 for it or $200,000 or whatever. That's when Superman came out. You know what Superman is? You know Superman, don't you? Now, I bet some of you are saying, oh, I know Superman. He's George Reeves or whatever that committed suicide, by the way. That's another story. No, not at all. You mean his son, Steve Reeves? No, not at all. You mean Superman comic book? No. TV? No. Superman, most people, 95%, 98%, I don't know, whatever, people, actually believe that Superman is a comic book, is a TV. But what you don't know is the concept of Superman goes back a couple of thousand years ago. Yep, it's the Rosicrucian secret society concept of Superman. Now, if you saw the latest Superman comic movies, you'll understand what I'm getting ready to tell you. The concept of Superman is man who will become a god. And you know that stuff is put in movies? Man to become as a god-like being is who Superman is. Freemasons believe this, that when they become a good Freemason and they go through all the rites, R-I-T-E-S, and do what they've got to do as a Freemason, at every degree, you get closer to godhood. Each degree, you get closer to godhood. They don't tell people about that. The lower level ones don't know this. They just know they're adjusting their frequency on that black and white checkered floor, and their frequency vibrations are being adjusted in order for them to advance to the next level of humankind evolution. So Superman, this, the evolution of man into Superman, was always the purpose of the ancient mystery schools, the religion of masonry. Man who has sprung from the earth, has developed through the lower kingdoms of nature, has yet to complete his evolution by becoming a godlike being. Unquote. W.I. Wilmhurst, The Meaning of Masonry. You'll find it Bell Publishing, 1980, on pages 47 and 94. And you know, Dave Hunt also cited this in The Cult Invasion, page 19. And also, Alan Morrison, The Serpent and the Cross, page 230. There's your Superman. At the right time, when this radio music hall thing, project, whatever. And guess what else? Yeah, 1966, Iron Mountain Commission report. Among the many objectives, to control people in the time of peace. War was the best way to control people. What to do in the time of peace? They came up with objectives, how to control humankind, in the Iron Mountain Report. Well, in 1966, two of the objectives were this. One, to develop a space research program, listen, aimed at unreachable targets. They never went to the moon, and they're never going to go to Mars either. And the second one, equivalent to that, was develop an extraterrestrial menace. That's 1966. Oh, wait a minute. You mean you don't have one, so you got to develop one? Yeah, that's correct. That's exactly what they had to do. Now, isn't that just a hoot and a howler? And did you all know that even as far back as 1917, a humanist by the name of John Dewey, who is your father of American education, the father of American education, he said, I quote, even planned back that far back, 1917. And this quote was parroted by Reagan on five occasions. And John Dewey said, someone remarked that the best way to unite all the nations on this globe would be an attack from some other planet. In the face of such an alien enemy, people would respond with a sense of their unity of interest and purpose. John Dewey. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? How about them apples? Reagan knew about the Star Wars. Star Wars weren't about protecting us. Star Wars were about setting up HARP, setting up the way they're going to try to take on Jesus Christ. Oh, doesn't that sound crazy? Some wild things, isn't it? They all know about this, by the way. How about this?
And more secure for you and your children. I couldn't help at one point in our discussions with privately with General Secretary Gorbachev. When you stop to think that we're all God's children, wherever we may live in the world, I couldn't help but say to him, just think how easy his task and mine might be in these meetings that we held if suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species, from another planet, outside in the universe. We'd forget all the little local differences that we have between our countries, and we would find out once and for all that we really are all human beings here on this earth together.
He knew about it, and that was a tricky part about it. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And in another place, he says, in the UN, in front of the UN,
I couldn't help at one point in our discussions with privately with General Secretary Gorbachev, when you stop to think that we're all God's children, wherever we may live in the world, I couldn't help but say to him, just think how easy his task and mine might be in these meetings that we held if suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species, from another planet, outside in the universe. We'd forget all the little local differences that we have between our countries, and we would find out once and for all that we really are all human beings here on this earth together. Well, I don't suppose we can wait for some alien race to come down and threaten us, but I think that between us, we can bring about that realization. In our obsession with antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat of war? I think maybe I'd answer it this way. I keep in my frustration sometimes, you know, actually, if you count some of the things going on in smaller countries and all, there have been about 114 wars since World War II. But I've often wondered, what if all of us in the world discovered that we were threatened by a power from outer space, from another planet? Wouldn't we all of a sudden find that we didn't have any differences between us at all? We were all human beings, citizens of the world, and wouldn't we come together to fight that particular threat?
Well, there you go. That's only two or three of the... He had this down pat, didn't he? That was a forewarning. He knew about this. This Sananda Emanuel, this alien, ascended masters, all that sort of thing. Project Bluebeam. And they're preparing the world. That's where you get Yeshua and Jeshua from. Because one called Sananda Emanuel is going to call himself Yeshua. I am your Yeshua. I am Jeshua. I'm the one you call Jesus. That's what he's going to say. And boy, we're in it then. That'll be the first seal. When Israel turns her back on God and signs a peace covenant with this fake Messiah, the real one, called Maitreya or Sananda Emanuel, and they're frauds. They're nothing but fallen angels, and they're headed to hell. But they will fool mankind by bringing up a chaotic situation. They'll solve all the answers. Solve all the problems, excuse me, with all the answers. And you've read about this before. I just want to warn y'all that time's coming. Right around the bend. And so, we have 20 minutes to go. And I did more tonight than I thought I was going to do. But you got what's called the Frankfurt School. Very important for you conspiracy scientists to research. It's called the Frankfurt School. And this Frankfurt School began this radio research project. We're talking about 1937. Funding from the Rockefellers, as I mentioned before. And to use the radio to atomize the, manipulate the thinking of the population. And the Frankfurt School ideologue, Theodore Adorno, observed that people, quote, listen atomically and disassociate with what they hear. They're not childlike, but they are childish. Their primitivism is not that of the undeveloped, but that of the forcibly retarded. Among the findings of the radio research project were, quote, people tend to become addicted to the radio based on a, quote, what happens next format. Two, listeners react to format, not content, as in the famous Orson Welles' War of the Worlds broadcast, which many believed were describing an actual invasion, in spite of the fact that there were repeated clear warnings that the show was fictional. And number three, repetition is the key to popularity. That is, if you play this enough, people will think it's good, even if it's awful. Most importantly, they will believe it, even if it's a lie. Any lie can become popular opinion if it's repeated enough times on the radio. Now add to it the TV. Y'all been had. But they've been had. Because what I've been talking about the past 2 hours, well, I guess 4 hours or 3 hours now, is that they're not considering that the supernatural is real. And they're the ones that the frauds. So the plan to create an artificial extraterrestrial threat was first mentioned by John Dewey, who was a Marxist. And then that premise was tested for its credibility with a CBS production of War of the Worlds on CBS Radio Network by Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater. It's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on evening of October the 30th, 1938, the same year the Superman comic book came out. So the night before the All Saints Night, generally celebrated as Halloween, 6 million Americans listened. And about 1 million people responded with sustained fear and credulity. Thousands responded with sheer panic. And the broadcast was a psychological warfare experiment only, conducted by Princeton Radio Project. It's pretty set. It's quite interesting, actually. Remember we had My Favorite Martian? Back in the day, Bewitched. Family TV is designed to get us used to this stuff. This stuff is amazing to me. I mean, it really is. How it all fits together. And I never get tired of studying it, really. But I sometimes got to pull myself away and say, oh, well, so what? Because the King James Bible outweighs them by tons. Do you know the Y2K? That was to set up mass panic and to bring in the New World Order on January, year 2000. And did you know that the one named Alex Jones came up with a fraud and a fake broadcast that night of 31 December 1999? Similar to War of the Worlds broadcast about Netanyahu, Putin launched an attack that was leading to World War III. You can listen to it if you want to. You can find it. I'm not going to play it now. It's not worth it. But it panicked a lot of people in America. Now, I was there in Kosovo, Serbian Kosovo. I was there on that border. That period of time, October 1999, to 2004, and I was friends with some with Russian intelligence people. We'd trade information, so I was good friends with them. I had no problem with that. at all, because Americans wouldn't give me nothing. And I was responsible for over 300 people and their security and safety in Kosovo when it was being developed. And the Russians would share with me, and their main concern, though, is why we Americans allowed 12 Chechens to come through the Albanian airport unchecked. No pun intended there, of course. And that's what I wanted to know, too, but nevertheless. So, you see, Wesley Clark was supposed to start World War III in June 1999 when we attacked Kosovo. Oh, yeah. Oh, we did. And they're supposed to set up. I'm not going to go into detail. You can find it yourself. It's Wesley Clark, the man who tried to start World War III. And he was stopped by a major general, by General, no kidding, Michael Jackson of the Brits, who basically told General Clark he wasn't going to do what he wanted him to do. He said, basically, he's refused to follow his orders. I'm not going to start, quote, World War III for you. Hung up on him. Good for Michael Jackson, general, Brit Army, to hang up on Powder Puff Clark, who's a Rhodes Scholar, which identifies him specifically, like General Boykin, specifically as a New Ager and a secret society member, like General Boykin. He's a Knight of Malta, for goodness sakes. You militia, he will backstab you in a heartbeat. Same thing about Stubblebine. Knights of Malta, secret societies. You better understand this. And this is a fact. The secret societies are out for themselves. And they will do in their own people that work as secret society members below them. This is serious. This is not a game. It's very serious, actually. This disclosure is coming, but it'll, when God allows it to happen. It's been delayed many times. But this resistance to disclosure comes primarily from governments whose militaries have benefited from the technologies that's been gifted from these fallen angels. They like to call them extraterrestrials, but they're not. They're fallen angels, and they're headed to hell. There's no forgiveness for these fallen angels. They knew what they were doing. But Jesus Christ was our intercessor. Because on the cross, Jesus Christ said, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." He's talking about you and me. We're humans, and we ain't got a clue about the supernatural. But the fallen angels, they did. Now, they believe that the governments believe exactly that the militaries have benefited from technologies that's gifted down to us, intended for peaceful use by entire population of planet, is a total lie. Gifted vaccinations, okay. Gifted nuclear facilities, sure. No, they were put there under the lie that it was a gift and peaceful. And I've got the exact 40 parts to the plan, too. I've read them before. One of them was nuclear energy. You got to be kidding me. Fukushima. People I'm hearing from in Japan say Fukushima's messed up. It's not true. Now think about this for a minute. You got a nuclear bombs dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Now, there's argument that it's actually a big old bomb, not nuclear. Whatever. They say it's nuclear. You ever seen Hiroshima and Nagasaki today? It's flourishing. So they have to come with a rumor that it was a nuclear bomb, because that would say, well, wait a minute. If a nuclear bomb landed in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, then how come people are still there and Fukushima is all messed up? They have to answer that question. So they had to come up with a rumor that it was not a nuclear bomb in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Number two, you had well over 900 nuclear tests above and below ground combined, 900 total, 900 some, in Nevada, in America. Now, wait a minute. That's what, 900 Fukushimas? What's going on here? Something's not right. Something ain't matching. And now they're starting to claim that the Pacific Ocean is reddened with blood and it's killing animals. And oh, we're already in the trumpet judgments. You see what they're doing? They're a bunch of liars too. Because they're trying to make you think the tribulation is already done. And that's part of the tribulation. Let me tell you. Moses didn't have no Fukushima back then. He had the Spirit of God. He had the power of God behind him. And when he said blood turned to river, that's what it turned to. That's yet to happen. And this thing's about Fukushima and the water pollution, all that. That's man's pathetic attempt to try to fake the tribulation. Some people be fooled like War of the Worlds broadcast, but when it happens, there will be no mistake. You'll know worldwide. You won't be no spectators when tribulation period comes. The technologies as anti-gravity, propulsion, free energy, and all that been suppressed. They murdered Nikola Tesla and those robbers, Thomas Edison and J.P. Morgan, a bunch of crooks, stole it from a Serbian named Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla was channeled, granted, but he is a good man. He just didn't want to cooperate with them. He's an Orthodox Christian. Those heretics, Thomas Alva Edison and J.P. Morgan, stole his projects, especially the electric light. So when you hear that little thing where Thomas Edison says, well, there's a, 10,000 ways and experiments, I found 5,000 ways it wouldn't work, is a bunch of baloney. He never invented the thing anyway. He stole it from Nikola Tesla. But the reason they're bringing the technology to mankind is so they can fix it for what we're talking about tonight, and also to open up those portals, allowing demonic entities to come inside this world. Let's get into it. That's happening. When God pulls away from the country, from the people, the demonic realm increases exponentially. You had a kid today in Colorado, I believe it was, that set himself on fire in the school. It's critical. Family, kids just don't do that. A teenager, just don't go into a school in Colorado and just sets himself on fire unless he's hypnotized and demonized as a test. There you go. Family's increasing. Prayer. Fasting. And we'll talk about that starting tomorrow. Bible study. Solutions. You know, few of the planet's citizens are aware that the technologies or the users have been put to the governments have opposed disclosure ever since Roswell. They've committed citizens of lost their lives in the thousands trying to lift the veil of secrecy. Even JFK was rumored to preparing to reveal the secrets. Secretary of Defense James Forrestal, William Colby, CIA, President Kennedy, supposedly, until this right time. Now, secrecy is now no longer possible to maintain. And eventually they're going to disclose this, what I'm telling you, but they'll disclose this lie. So few these churches are not going to be ready for this. They're going to so freak out. I told my pastor, I go to a Bible study thing because my parents used to go there. Anyway, so I go there and the preacher, he's walked out on me three times. He really has. Twice on the King James Bible, another on the Sons of God, the Old Testament, the alien thing. He didn't like that either. he walked out on me twice when I started getting fired up about the King James Bible. They use the NIV Bible. I've been trying the hardest I could to try to get change it, but you know how that was working out. But in any case, I said, well, Pastor, I said, what are y'all going to do when at disclosure? What's that? And of course, I answered it. He didn't like that too much. But anyway, dropped the seat anyway. So they're going to tell you, especially the Indians, about the space brothers. These are not space brothers. These are space demons from the second heaven. And they are evil. They're going to pretend to be good, and that's the first dialectic. They'll be called cosmic humans, and they have been seeding Earth with its population. Some of these children that are like nine years old or 5 years old, scientists, physics, and all this, they're called star children. Chellas. I'm going to leave that alone for a while. Let your imagination run on that one. These aren't normal kids. This Mayans are a bunch of murderers. The Mayans did just what Baal worshippers do, murder people, murder children. And that is to appease the fallen angels, to allow them to manifest. Abortions, that is the purpose of abortions and the legalization of abortion. It's not about moral issue. It's not about political. It's not about economics. That's all shadows. All that is just to cover it or whatever. The real purpose of abortions, as your doctors and nurses that involve themselves or in the Wicca or Freemasonry at the highest level, they know that the sacrifice of children is life forces that's released. That's what it's all about. And that blood and the flesh of the baby, well, have your imagination, because they believe that purity increases their own lifespan. That's where consumption comes in. It's ugly. You'll find nurses, some of them, in the Wicca. Now you get it? Freemasons know the royal secret. The Rams have been nefarious. It could have been subdued this planet a long time ago, they say. But they're going to have good aliens and bad aliens. Nope, they're all bad. And they're fallen angels with a dialectic. It means some are going to act good, some are going to act bad. Whoa, we're at the end of the program, aren't we? Whoa. I'll continue this. I may go over this again tomorrow. I think you all need to know about this disclosure because it's going to come. And I got a summary here that I've been putting together. Try to explain to people. Nasara, the prosperity package, all that's part of this. To placate the American public, to placate the world. Using false flags, fear, wars, all this. And there are no good fallen angels. None of them are good. And the idea is to reduce the population, not increase it. Jesus Christ is going to increase their time in hell, too. But family, this is where preaching comes in. David Wilkerson, one of the last ones. Now, if I were you, I would get on his YouTubes and listen to what he got to preach. He's about the only one now I listen to, because he talks about the true word of God. Well, family, we're heading toward the end here, and I'm going to go. And I appreciate y'all coming by. And I know the program was canceled, the Revelation Radio Network, and I just almost said, well, it's been canceled. And I said, nah, I'm going to go with it. So we had quite a large crowd tonight. And I appreciate y'all coming by. If I've reached one person tonight, it's been worth it. If someone I've said and it's passed on because I'm uploaded tonight, so be it. I don't know what God's got in store, but I'm going to keep on pushing. till I can't no more. So now, you all have a good night tonight. And it's Monday. I hear it's going to get cold or something or other. I don't know. I guess it will. I guess I should get some chains and, you know, food and all that stuff. I don't know. Who knows? Whatever. Family, y'all have a great night. And God bless. And get close to God. Pray. Make it normal. Make it usual. And stay strong, because people are going to come at you. They're going to come at you now. Family members as well. Right now, this is practice. You're practicing. Problem is, they are too. Stay strong in the Lord. And I'll see you all tomorrow about 7 o'clock, or excuse me, 4 o'clock to 6. And also let y'all know, since I am talking from my own network, that we're played highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net plays our broadcasts and Bible studies. Highpointradio.net up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network, plays this simulcast. And my website is watchmanforjesus.com. And I put my archives, Bible studies, and broadcast there also. Pass it around if you feel you can or you need to or you agree with it. If you think it's going to help somebody. If you don't agree with something I say, send me an email. Let's talk about it. Show me what you got. And I'm not a theologian. You know, I do a large amount of research, but I can make a mistake. If I do, man, correct me. I don't care. Because I'll change it. And I'll say, wow, you're right. You know, I've learned something. That's a win-win situation. I don't know it all by no stretch. But I do a lot of research now. But so is everybody else. Y'all have a great night. And I appreciate y'all stopping by. I already said that, didn't I? Well, y'all have a good night. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Bible study 7:30 to 9. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Nothing on Saturday and Sunday. So we'll do 4 days in a row and see how this works. So y'all have a great night, and God bless. Because Jesus Christ is alive and he's coming back. When? Don't know when. I'm not worried about it. That's his business. Our business is to start preaching the gospel and getting ready for it. Y'all have a great night.
The love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night and God bless. We'll see y'all tomorrow.